Blog Talk Radio.
Hello and welcome to Indie Business Podcast number 269. I'm your host, Donna Maria, and you have arrived at the one place where we empower you to enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way. If this is your first time listening to my podcast, you are in for a treat today. You know, Indie Business Podcast is all about helping women maximize their potential through small business ownership. And while doing that really is about working smart as a business leader and a manager, an equally important part is creating the kind of lifestyle that you want. And, you know, I'm a big believer in building business around life, not the other way around. And part of that is maintaining health and fitness. And since I know this is super important to you as well, I've invited someone who I know personally from my own experience has some great tips to share to help you maximize your fitness level so you can maximize your business success level. I'm pleased to introduce you to Tiffany McCauley. Now, born and raised in one of my favorite cities, San Francisco, Tiffany is a soon-to-be published cookbook author and is in school to become a registered dietitian. She publishes thegraciouspantry.com and skinnycrockpot.com, which she co-authors with Gail Compton. Both blogs offer clean eating recipes, tips, weight loss support, and encouragement. Tiffany is also a great friend of the Indie Beauty Network, which many of you may know is the trade organization I lead for women entrepreneurs in the cosmetics industry. She's a former cosmetics manufacturer and member of IBN, who reinvented herself into this amazing career she now enjoys. And I just love that. Tiffany, welcome to Indie Business Podcast.
Thank you so much. It's great to be here.
Now, Tiffany, as women entrepreneurs, and you're one, we have so much to juggle. And often, you know, health just takes a back seat. And you sort of have a story in this regard, a personal story, that I'd like for you to share with our listeners today. Tell us about your personal journey to the health and fitness you enjoy today.
Well, thank you. There was about a 15-year period in my life where I just got so busy that I honestly just didn't notice my life, my health, anything that was going on. All I could do was focus on what I had to get done. It wasn't even really a conscious thing. I just was too busy and honestly didn't notice what was happening to my health. By the end of 15 years, I noticed that I just wasn't feeling very well anymore. I looked in the mirror and I realized that I was 114 pounds overweight. I was on blood pressure medication and blood sugar medications for prediabetes. And for whatever reason, even that didn't change my course. I was just now extra miserable because I actually was aware of the shape I was in. But then my son came along, and I was lying there on the delivery table the day he was born, and they put him in my arms for the first time, and in that second, I just knew I had to be a healthy mom for him. I had to be around to raise him. I didn't want to be the mom sitting on the sidelines with an oxygen tank at the soccer game. You know, I wanted to actually be out there kicking the ball around with him to practice and whatnot. So I went to the bookstore and thankfully found one of Tosca Reno's books, her Eat Clean Diet books. And I saw the pages there, and I knew that I had found something that would work for me. It was a very bumpy start. I just took baby steps, and I tried to be very patient with myself. And I eventually got there. I started keeping track of the recipes I created for myself on my blog, The Gracious Pantry, and thankfully it's grown into an amazing supportive community of thousands of people. Since I started, I've lost 59 of the 114 pounds, and I'm off blood sugar medication, and I hope to get off of the blood pressure meds very soon. So
well, congratulations to you. And, you know, it's interesting that you say there was a trigger for you. I guess the first trigger was sort of becoming aware, but you didn't do anything about it until something very specific and emotional happened to you. And for you, it was the birth of your child. Tell us, Tiffany, in your working with women and dealing with the women in your community, what are some of the other triggers that you've noticed? Because I know it's different for everyone. What are some of the other triggers you've noticed for other women that have had a similar impact on them?
Well, you're right. I mean, it's different for everybody, and it really is a personal thing. For some people, it really is just standing in front of the mirror in your underwear and going, oh, my gosh. You know, for others, it's that visit to the doctor where they say, look, you know, if you don't change, you're going to die, you know. I mean, it's really different for everybody. It just depends on what is that emotional trigger for you.
Okay. So, and in your case, I mean, I would imagine for a lot of women, it is being a mother and knowing that, you know, at the end of the day, you know, someone is relying on you that, and you're irreplaceable in their lives, and that's a very special relationship. So is that what encouraged you? Is that the trigger also that caused you to want to create Gracious Pantry and provide these recipes and tips for people?
Oh, definitely, yeah. You know, and when I first started out, it wasn't even I didn't even consciously start off with the idea of sharing my journey. I just had gotten into the kitchen and wanted to keep track of some of the recipes because I actually liked what I was making. And I had already been blogging on some other sites, and I just thought, well, it's a great way to keep track of recipes. And before I knew it, people were actually enjoying my recipes too, and I just kept going with it.
Now, Tiffany, I want to touch upon this really quickly, too. We're going to get into some of your recipes and eating tips, clean eating tips, I should say. But I know that our audience is really going to want to hear just a little bit about this transition that you made from one type of business to another. We have a lot of women today who are, you know, some people call it reinventing yourselves, whatever you call it. It's doing something different because what they're doing is not fulfilling them for some reason. Tell us a little bit about how you... because, you know, this is fun for you, but it's a business as well, what you're doing now. So tell us a little bit about how you turned that corner and what challenges did you face changing from one business to another.
Well, I started off actually, aside from the bath and body business I had, I also had a cookie business. And I realized pretty quickly, because I had started a cookie blog, and I realized pretty quickly that with the health changes I needed to make, I could no longer be baking cookies on a daily basis to blog about them. So, you know, at that point, it was a pretty clear choice for me that, you know, I had to stop that and move on to something else. But I knew I enjoyed the blogging process and wanted to continue with that. Quite literally, it was a very simple decision. I just switched one day. I just shut down one and started another. And, you know, I had gained experience from, you know, the businesses I had had in the past. And so I kind of went into this with a new perspective and a better understanding of how to grow it. And so it just sort of all evolved on its own, but it's been wonderful. And, you know, to be honest, I didn't start the Gracious Pantry as a business. It really was just a personal thing that it was more of a personal journey for me, and it just has evolved into a business.
And I love how being alive today creates that kind of opportunity for us in all kinds of industries as women, just, you know, starting something that we enjoy and then ultimately discovering as we move forward that there are some exciting income opportunities there. I know that's a whole other show, but it really excites me. So for those of you who are listening, you're thinking you want to start a business, but you don't know what to do, you may end up, you know, having the fun that Tiffany's having starting out and then finding ways to turn it into a business. So thank you for sharing that. Now, you know, maintaining health is a year-round thing for all of us. It's especially hard to do it during the holidays. And, you know, we all want that, in my case anyway, my mother's all-butter pound cake, which is to die for. But, you know, if we indulge in that way, you know, more than once during the holidays, we have to minimize that damage. So what can we do for the rest of the holiday meals if we want to have that, you know, slab of pound cake? What are some of the tips that you can offer for the other foods that we like to enjoy during the holidays so we can minimize the calories in those and still enjoy them?
Mm-hmm. Well, I think the important thing to realize is that the holidays are not a 1 or 2 month long holiday. It's not a 2 month feast. You know, you have to remember that when you're not actually enjoying the holiday itself, you should be sticking to healthier foods the rest of the time. And yes, there's a lot of temptation out there, but you can prepare yourself for that. You can always, you know, have foods with you. Preparation is the biggest key to success where eating is concerned. But, you know, it's important to enjoy those treats, I should say. It's, you know, you can't get away from it. You have to enjoy them and you have to enjoy the holidays. So it shouldn't become this huge source of guilt. But at the same time, you can also Make sure that your holiday meals have the vegetables in them that aren't, you know, completely slathered in butter, you know. There's so many lower fat, lower cal ways to prepare these foods, and it they're all tasty. It doesn't have to taste bland or terrible. I love the foods that I cook, and there's nothing high fat about them. It's been a long time since I've cooked with butter. So it doesn't have to be that way. You just have to prepare. You have to sit down, you have to plan, prepare, and you have to know what you're going to eat ahead of time, because otherwise you'll just eat what's there.
So let me ask you this. You said preparation is the key to success.
Mm-hmm.
From a practical perspective, what does that mean for most women? Is that an hour every Sunday and then another hour Sunday night at the grocery store? I mean, just practically, what does that mean for most people that you work with?
Well, it starts with making the right choices at the grocery store. It starts with reading labels, which can be a bit time-consuming in the beginning because you have to get to know what's available that actually is healthy, not just labeled healthy. It does feel time-consuming in the beginning. I will say that. When I first started, it just felt overwhelmingly time-consuming. But you do get into a routine, and you know what to grab at the health food store. You know what to prepare, you know, during the weekend. I usually spend a couple hours in the weekend just chopping vegetables, you know, putting fruits in baggies, just preparing food so that I can just grab and go when I'm in a hurry, putting a healthy lasagna in the freezer for, you know, Wednesday night when you're, you know, you don't get home till 8 o'clock at night. It's kind of looking at your schedule, knowing where you're going to need the extra help and preparing ahead of time when you do have the time on the weekends or, you know, whatever time that is for you.
And Tiffany, what are some of your favorite substitutions? I know you said like you haven't cooked in butter since you don't know when. Tell us like maybe the top, you know, several substitutions that you know generally work. And I know every recipe is different, but there must be some substitutions that we can use in most recipes. I know you can't guarantee all, but, you know, what can we start doing, you know, for those of us who are like, yeah, I'd love to start planning, but, you know, the reality is, you know, mm-hmm. it's not going to happen this week. So, but I can substitute this for this when I make that. So give us some tips along those lines.
Right. Well, you know, people are scared to death of fat these days. And the truth is it's not so much, I mean, granted, the amounts of fats we get are huge in most people's diets, so that does need to be reduced. But you can't be afraid of fat. You just have to make sure you're getting healthy fats. That's very important. We do need fats in our diet. So make sure you're getting heart-healthy fats, like olive oil is a great one, grapeseed oil, and use that in your cooking. You know, maybe just a couple teaspoons or tablespoons to saute some onions or whatever when you're cooking. Make sure you bake a lot in the oven. That requires less fat. There's a lot of different shortcuts you can take when you're baking. You can replace some of the fat with pureed bananas. You just mash them up with a fork or with an immersion blender. You can also use a combination of a light flavored oil like grapeseed oil and unsweetened applesauce. With recipes, it's all about ratios, so you have to kind of watch the wet to dry ratio in a recipe and keep that the same as the original. But really, there's a lot of substitutions you can make to make things healthier. Even using like whole wheat pastry flour is a great substitute just to make things a bit healthier. Even if you aren't substituting other things, just changing the flour and what you're baking can often help a lot.
And you know, your blog, one of the things I love, and correct me if I'm wrong, because I think I'm right, your blog at thegraciouspantry.com is all about doing all that work for us in advance. So when we go to a recipe at your blog, we see, you know, our usual, you know, chocolate chip cookies as the title of the blog post, and we see a wonderful picture. I'm looking at one now of these luscious-looking, decadent-looking things. But you've already done all that substitution work for us, right? And you figured out what to swap out for what, or maybe some of the recipes are your original ones too. Mm-hmm. So that we can have those things built in when we go to your website, we know that we've gotten it whittled down in a really good way, but we've also maintained the flavor.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's, you know, I try very hard to convert what people really love, because they're the foods that I love too. You know, I want to know that I can make a lasagna and not feel like I have to go work out at the gym for 5 hours to work off eating one piece, you know. I love chocolate chip cookies, but I also know that, you know, I need to make them a bit differently just to keep it healthy and keep it clean. It's really not about depriving yourself. It's mm-hmm. about changing what you eat so that you can still enjoy the foods you love.
So let's talk about some holiday foods, right? Okay, we're all used to the, you know, the butter slathered all over the sweet potatoes with 5 inches of marshmallows on top. What are some of your tips for preparing sweet potatoes in a healthful way over the holidays?
Well, you know, you don't have to add all that butter. Pecans add a wonderful flavor to sweet potatoes. And yes, it's fat, but it's healthy fat. You're not adding, you know, the saturated fats from the butter. You know, you can sweeten with a little bit of honey instead of sugar and marshmallows. It's just about switching those individual ingredients as opposed to foregoing the entire dish.
Now, Tiffany, what do you think of different sorts of sugar substitutes? Let's talk about several, because this is a big thing, and I know that, you know, sugar doesn't necessarily contain a lot of calories, but it certainly is causing wreaking havoc on a lot of our bodies in other ways. So there's so many substitutes, like we have the traditional powdered substitutes like Equal and Truvia and even, you know, what's still out there, believe it or not, Sweet and Low. But then there's also, as you just mentioned, honey. There's also agave. Tell us, you know, what are some of your tips and ideas when we're preparing things where we want that sweetness? How do you recommend that we interchange those?
Mm-hmm. Well, as a clean eater, I avoid processed sugars completely, including the artificial sweeteners. I tend to refer to them as chemical surprise. You know, it's that clean eaters don't eat that type of sugar. We focus more on the whole natural sugars in moderation, definitely in moderation, because sugar is sugar regardless. Whether you eat the white stuff or whether you eat honey, it's still going to be sugar in your body, so you need to keep it in moderation. However, you can actually, you know, I mean, if you switch to honey or maple syrup or even brown rice syrup, I mean, you're actually getting a natural sort of nutrition from that that you wouldn't get from white processed stuff, and you're not going to have that sort of addictive craving for more once you've switched to a natural sweetener, because it doesn't have the same reaction as far, you know, sugar is very addicting. It really is. And even natural sweeteners can be addicting, but in moderation, you know, the natural sweeteners are going to be, it's going to make it a lot easier for you to have one piece and walk away. Let's put it that way.
Yeah, because I was going to ask you that, if the sugar reacts in our bodies the same way, no matter what type of sugar it is, why isn't it as addictive if the body processes it in such a similar way?
Well, you know, it's all glucose but it's you know, I don't know the science behind it quite yet, but I know from personal experience that addiction isn't there for me
mm-hmm.
personally. And I know a lot of people find it to be the same way. There's something about white refined sugar that just sort of pulls you in and keeps you there.
Keeps you there. Oh, my goodness. Well, you know, you have some amazing before and after pictures at thegraciouspantry.com for those of you who want to come and see what a difference it's made. Tiffany, let's talk about oatmeal, because
sure.
you have something at your blog called The Oatmeal Project. Every time I see an oatmeal recipe, I send it to you, like I tweet it. Here's the reason I'm asking this question. Oats have such a fantastic positive impact on our bodies. They're good for us. And oatmeal is a wonderful meal for us as moms to feed our kids. But it can be so bland and so ugh. And, of course, to dress it up, we want to add cream and maple sugar and maple syrup and all the stuff
sure.
that, you know, boost the calories. But you have some great ideas for how we can use, put other ingredients in the oatmeal and have it be good. Tell us what some of your favorite recipes are, maybe what some of the things your little boy likes.
Oh, boy. I think hands down both of our favorites is the peanut butter oatmeal. We love that stuff. You know, you don't have to add a bunch of fattening, unhealthy ingredients to oatmeal. And the truth is, you know, if you're eating it the same way day in and day out, yeah, it gets very boring. But you just have to liven it up. You have to look around your grocery store, see what's in season and what's fresh, and use that as sort of an inspiration. You know, toss in some apples and cinnamon and, you know, maybe a small amount of maple syrup if you need it. You know, sometimes the fruit is just sweet. avoid enough. There's just so many different ways to eat oatmeal. It really does not have to be boring, and that's why I started the Oatmeal Project, because it's a work in progress, but you know, I really want to get that 365 ways to fix your oatmeal, because it really does not have to be boring, and it can be very, very healthy.
Now tell us what you think about smoothies. You know, my kids dragged me to Smoothie King yesterday, and they had a little smoothie, and they were very happy. And I was talking to the woman about, you know, how she made smoothies, and they had the little secret ingredient that makes it all creamy and frothy and stuff. And so my question to you is, when we make a smoothie at home, tell us how we can, make it, you know, not just nutritious, although I want that as well, but, you know, what are some of the ingredients in a smoothie that make it nice and thick and make it feel like, you know, some serious substance going down your throat when you eat it?
It's funny. The more you get the junk out of your diet, the more your taste buds change. So the smoothies I made when I first started are very different from the smoothies I make now. When I first started, you know, I was adding the honey, the maple syrup. I was using a lot of Greek yogurt because it's higher in protein. I was using that to make things thick. Adding a little bit of kefir maybe, or even tofu at the time. I was using a lot of tofu then, and you know, just putting in a slice of that will really thicken things up. And then you just add your fruits and whatever flavors, you know, spices like cinnamon or whatever you want. Now, of course, for me, it's just some almond milk, maybe a banana and some strawberries, and a huge handful of spinach, and I run that through, and it's delicious. I love it.
Is that recipe at your blog?
Yeah, I do have. I have a whole smoothie section on my blog.
Okay, we're going to take a look at that. So tell me about this handful of spinach mixed in with the fruit. Is that really good?
You know, it's funny. People always look at a picture of a green smoothie and they kind of freak out and they go, ew, you know. But it's actually, you cannot taste the spinach. You absolutely cannot taste it. Whatever fruit you put in there is the flavor that you will get out of it. That's why I love putting spinach in a smoothie, because you get all that nutrition and you don't taste the spinach at all.
I love that. That is fantastic. And, you know, another thing I love about the Gracious Pantry is that for every recipe, there is a calorie and nutritional approximation for each and every one. So this helps us to know not only that, you know, we're getting the healthful things in there, but we can also incorporate it if we're counting calories or counting proteins or whatever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I try to provide that for all of my recipes. I can't always do it, but I just go to nutritiondata.com and I enter my recipes, and it gives me that information. It's a wonderful tool. MyFitnessPal is another great one that I use quite often.
So if we're making up our own recipes, we can actually just go to those and we can create our own and get our own data about the approximate amount of those things inside that recipe.
Yes, most definitely. It's a fabulous tool.
Okay, so there's so many different ways that we can approach this. Let's talk a little bit about some more holiday foods, okay? Let's talk about the collard greens, okay? The fat back in the collard greens. Tell us your favorite way to prepare collard greens.
Well, you know, collard greens are not a huge thing here in California. It's not something that I prepare very often, but I have found that any greens like that, you know, whether it's spinach, collard greens, chard, even kale, if you chop those up and saute them lightly in a little bit of olive oil with some fresh garlic, maybe a little bit of onion powder, you don't have to saute it for very long, just enough to get it to wilt, and it's wonderful. Just that little bit of garlic and a little bit of oil, healthy oil, is fabulous. It makes a fabulous dish, and it's perfectly healthy.
And I read some article last week. I don't know, just you know how articles are these days. They kind of fly past your site.
Sure.
The title of this one was Kale, the New Beef.
Kale, the New Beef?
The New Beef, yeah. I'm sure if you Google it, if anyone listening. I didn't get a chance to read it, but I thought, it's hearty. It's healthy. And
uh-huh.
I guess vegetarians, this is a guess, maybe people that are vegetarians are using it somehow, I don't know how much protein is in it, but somehow to, wean themselves off of beef. I have no idea. But I thought it was an interesting title for an article. And I've actually, you probably read this too, that recently you know, whoever studies these things, and I apologize for not remembering exactly where I saw this, but I do remember when I saw it, it was an authoritative publication that had done some research on the rise of the increase in the number of people who are calling themselves vegans.
Yes, yes. There's been a lot of movies like Forks Over Knives, Food Inc., movies like that, Fast Food Nation even, that are, you know, that have really sort of generated this new wave of people who are going over to the vegan and vegetarian lifestyle. And I think it's wonderful. Personally, I tried it and I couldn't do it. It was not the best effect on my blood sugar. But, you know, I know for many people it's a wonderful option. And, you know, I encourage it. I think it's great. I think if you can do that and it works for your lifestyle, I strongly encourage it.
Now, Tiffany, we all know that diet and exercise have to be pursued together in order to really get results. And so you've lost how many pounds? 50-something pounds?
Almost 60, 59, yeah.
Okay, so you're over halfway to where you want to be, correct?
Yes, I am. Mm-hmm.
So tell us, how do you, I mean, you've obviously got the, you know, clean eating down. How do you fit in the fitness?
Oh, you know, I got to be honest, that's always a struggle. You know, just finding time in the day to get out that door and go for a walk or go for a jog, it's not easy. But, you know, I always tell myself if I can just get out there for 10 minutes, you know, you can find 10 minutes anywhere in your day. So if you can just take 10 minutes and, you know, either do some push-ups, do some sit-ups, or go for a quick walk, you know, even jog around the block once, you know, just something is better than nothing. So even on your busiest days, 10 minutes, that's all you got to do just to get something in for the day. And then obviously you do more on the days where you have time.
And you know this personally too. You're a wife, you're a mom. How old is your son?
He just turned 4.
You're a wife, you're a mom of a young child. So that's important to point out too, a young children, you know, there's all, and you are also pursuing a master's degree, and you're running this business, and you're writing a book, which is coming out next month. Tell us about it.
Yeah, it's a recipe book, a slow cooker recipe book, and it's we're still discussing the title, but it'll be out next month. It'll preview on QVC on, I believe it's, I want to say January 8th. I'll have to double check that date, but I'm very excited. Both Gail and I are very excited. We co-authored the book together, and we're thrilled to have it come out. It's all based on clean eating.
How exciting.
Yeah,
Tiffany McCauley at the Gracious Pantry on QVC. I am just very excited about that. You didn't tell me about the QVC part. You just snuck that in live on the show. I didn't know about that reading your information when I was preparing. I'm just even more excited now that I scooped QVC too, right? I had you here first. This is fantastic. So, we're going into the next couple of weeks. We are so excited to be able to have connected with you and these great tips that you have provided. And really, Tiffany, I got to tell you, the tips are great, but more than that, the encouragement is wonderful, because even if you don't have 50 or 100 pounds to lose, you know, ladies, we really do want to maintain our figures as long as we can, and we want to be healthy for our lives so we can be healthy for our families and our businesses. Because, you know, Tiffany, you would agree with this, right? It's really being able to integrate all the aspects of our lives into a complete whole requires us to be as fit as possible.
Oh, most definitely. Most definitely, yeah. I mean, you have to maintain your health to enjoy life. It really is that simple.
Yes, and there's so much more that happens in business when you are pursuing fitness. I can definitely testify to that from my own personal journey. And Tiffany, I just benefit so much from your recipes at thegraciouspantry.com. I want you guys to head over there and check them out. You can search by category. You can do a keyword search. Make sure you check out the Oatmeal Project, because believe me, there are some ways to cook oatmeal that you don't know about that you need to know about. And Tiffany has tested every single one of them, and we just appreciate that so much. Look for her book coming out next month. And also follow her on Twitter, right, at Gracious Pantry. And you also have a Facebook page, right?
Yes, yes, Gracious Pantry, Facebook / Gracious Pantry.
Excellent. Well, Tiffany McCauley, what a pleasure it's been to have you on our show today right here at Indie Business Podcast. I'll be back next week with another episode. In the meantime, enjoy your life, build your business, and have your way.
Thank you, Donna Maria.